front line.
We have some of the team members that have just come back from a mission trip around Southern Africa. We have Aubrey, Turbi, and Talita. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
So, Aubrey, what inspired this mission?
Well, next year it will be the 500th anniversary of Ulrich Zwingli returning back to preaching from the Bible, sentence by sentence. What does it mean in context, and that people can know what God is saying? So we want people to preach from the Bible. And that's why we went on this mission to return to biblical preaching, more so a big word, expository preaching. Let the people know what is God saying to his people in that specific time, in that area, and that they can understand the message. And that's why we went there, that they can know that God has spoken, and his word is clear, and how also they should apply it to their day. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's lovely. And you guys were gone for about 2 months, so that is quite some time. What countries did you visit, and what was the situation in those countries?
Yeah, we visited many countries in the southern part of Africa, including Zimbabwe, Malawi, Tanzania, Zambia, Namibia, and also Swaziland.
And yeah, we also have been in Botswana. We've been in different countries, and also encouraging people. So yeah, we have seen a lot of nice views. We've met a lot of different tribes and people. Talita, yeah, maybe you'd like to share with the human. How did you experience, as to Talita and Turbi, it has been the first time across the border to see that Africa is bigger than South Africa. How did you experience it, Talita?
Well, I was really amazed. I expected it to be very down to earth, mud huts and everything. But some of the places we went to was really up. There was houses, plumbing, and I thought, wow, I didn't expect that. But I was really challenged to see the also some of the pastors and people. They are also excited to get back to the Bible, as Aubrey was going through the book of John as well, and taking it verse by verse, and just seeing what does the passage say. And many of the pastors, some of the time I wasn't there because I was with the children, but some of the times that I was there, I could just see the excitement in the pastors and how they really found it very helpful.
Yeah, the countries was very beautiful, each in its own natural beauty, and the people as well were very friendly, and in most places very open, especially with the Bible studies.
Awesome, that's brilliant. What would you say the spiritual situation is in these countries?
Well, maybe to speak more clearly, we're going to start with a country, Zimbabwe. How's it been in Zimbabwe? Well, Zimbabwe have a new president, but they have a new face in the old government, so nothing have really changed. It's much easier, I must say, than last year this time to have driven through the country. We were not stopped or harassed at any roadblocks that let us through. So that was at least easy to go. But the country do not have any funds. So they do not have diesel at this moment right now. They do not have food in the shops. Or it's highly expensive because there's no money to buy it. So the people are facing extreme poverty in the country. So yeah, it's going bad spiritually. People, a lot of the countries going on the prosperity gospel, and they are seeing God as the gamble machine. They put in 2 rand and they'll get 200 rand out. So they'll say, give God your tenth of your tithe of your money, and he'll give you as much money as you will love to have. So that is the problem. Spiritually, they are on a very low point, but there is encouragement. There's a lot of people that is striving to make Zimbabwe a better place. There's a lot of people that want Zimbabwe to go back to the Bible, and we try to work hand in hand with some of the people. We want people to say what the Bible is saying, and what to believe, first of all, what the Bible is saying. So yeah, maybe one of you want to add.
Yeah, me and Aliska and Turbi, we were 5 people on the team. Aubrey and Daniel went to another conference and they left us in the city to visit some of the old people. And it was, as we were visiting with them and talking with them, it was so sad to listen to some of their stories, how their farms were taken off and they lost their pension and everything when the exchange rate dropped and everything. So I was really saddened by what happened, but then some of the people just told the stories of how they had kept on holding fast to God, and I was encouraged by that as well, how they hadn't lost their faith or their joy.
That really is so beautiful to see how even in amongst difficult times and struggles, we can, as you say, cling to the Lord, and we get our hope and our joy, and we are able to persevere through Him, which is really incredible. So, Aubrey, you were saying that the theme was back to the Bible for the mission. How did you present this? How did you go about teaching people to get back to the Bible?
So, I know to preach from the Bible can be maybe quite scary, especially to people that have not done it. And, you know, some people might think, you know what, it's the Bible might have so many meanings, and what can this passage is all this different things it can mean, this or that. But I must say, we went with the Gospel of John, start with John chapter 1. And how did we make it easy for people? And we need to notice that this is not the people's, any country that we've been, it's not their first language. It's also not my first language that we're going to be doing the teaching in. We will need to do it in English, but we also need to do it through a translator. So we needed, first of all, a very practical way to get back to what does the Bible say. What we use, it's the Discovery Bible method. Maybe you're familiar with that. If you're not familiar, I want to advise you to go and please get our new book, Biblical Preaching Handbook. And if you go to page 93, you'll find the Discovery Bible method in there. It's not our method. It's someone else that have developed the method, but it's so helpful, if whether it's cross culture, whether it's at university with different groups of people, to use it. So what we will do, we will read the passage. We have adapted it a bit, so we'll read the passage, and then we'll ask people, retell us in your own words what's going on in the passage. We, for instance, John chapter 1, they'll retell from, we'll break the chapter up, John 1 to 1 verse 18, about Jesus, that he was in the beginning and that he is God. And then we ask people to retell the story, so in their own words. And then the next question would be, now what did you find difficult about this passage? And then they will say, and a lot of times they always would like to get, well, this is how we must apply this. And then just to ask him, you know, where do you see this in the passage? So really to get them back to, what does the Bible say? So then the next question is, what did you learn about God? And it's so amazing to learn from different African people over the past 2 months, you know, what they've learned and what they've seen about God. For instance, John chapter 1, we asked at the one conference, what did you learn about God? And said, well, God is mission-minded, and sending his son to earth, he's the first missionary, and we must be like him. And what did you learn about man? Or some cases we would ask him, which man in the passage do you like to be? And there's John the Baptist, you know. He said, me as a pastor, one of the pastors said, I'd like to be like John the Baptist and pointing people simply to Jesus Christ. That's my work. How does this text, what is the message of it, and how do I point people to Jesus Christ? So that's one of the questions, what do you learn about man? And then the next one, what must change in my life now that I know or have knowledge what is wrong and right in this passage? So they said, well, we, for instance, John chapter 1, we must be mission-minded. You know, we need to repent of our laziness, some people would say. We need to, first of all, get back to the Bible. We need to stop blaming, whether it's the government, it's our ancestors or whatever. We must stop blaming that, and we must go and repent of it and turn back to the Bible. And then the last question, who can you tell it to? And it was amazing, wonderful to see that people are getting excited. They can go and tell people the word of God. It's clear what God has said, and it is from Him. So it's His message, not our message. We're simply there to proclaim it, not to change or make it better. It's already the best message. And maybe one of you would like to add?
Yeah, what I really liked about the Discovery Bible Studies, even though I'm not a preacher in the sense of having studied to go preach, I was able to just use this method and open God's word with all the different people and discuss it to them instead of just teaching them, telling them to come together and ask, what does God's word teach us? And what do we see in this passage and how does it apply to our lives? And one of the most interesting things that we learned about, or that one of the pastor noticed what we learned about man is in John 4, where Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. And after the Samaritan woman came to realize who Jesus is, she immediately went out and told people about him. She didn't first go study to tell people about Jesus or get more knowledge or learn, but she immediately went and told people about Jesus. And that is very encouraging to know that as soon as you know Jesus, you can share about him, about the love that he has for you. And we see this in John.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's beautiful to see that you can use this Discovery Bible method to teach people, even if you are not qualified or anything, whether you're a new convert. It's a very good way to use it to read the Bible.
Maybe just to explain. So Africa, most of Africa, if not all of Africa, is an oral culture. They learn through storytelling. And what better book than the Bible? I mean, the Gospels, it's stories. The stories of the life of Jesus, the Old Testament is mostly stories. And to go and sit and discuss it, and, you know, it's so easy for them to relate to the stories. Not, it's not something difficult, so they learn about storytelling. And I must say, a lot of these times we have been doing the Discovery Bible, the people very accurately can tell this, retell the story. Well, this is our own words. And you will think, yes, they've listened to this. We've read it only one time, but they can almost tell it word for word at the passage what we just read. So it's really amazing. And God has surely used the Discovery Bible study all over the world, I'm sure, to draw people to himself.
That's incredible. Because as you say, by it being such an oral culture, I think too easily it can then also be changed. But by being able to then stay focused on the word and having these questions, what does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about man? Who can we share this with? It makes us, instead of bringing our own ideas into the Bible, it lets the Bible instead be the teacher, instead of one of us being the teacher. So that must be a truly incredible method. That's awesome. So you said that you had to use a translator during these methods, during these Bible studies, during preaching and whatnot. So obviously their English wasn't too good. Did this make things very difficult with having to use a translator the whole time and that kind of thing?
Well, I must say I'm used to speaking through a translator, so it was not that difficult. We have the Bibles, and maybe if there's words coming up in the passage that we do not know, we can maybe just try to explain it. So it's not something that's unusual for me, but maybe to some other cultures where it's not familiar to English, it must have been difficult. But I must say we had good translators most of the places, and they understand our words, and just to talk slowly and to talk clearly. And if we are, if I'm using words, that I will use clear English words, and then also explain the story or the point that I'm making very clearly. How did you find the translation work, Toby?
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm actually glad for the translators, because since they already know, most of them know the Bible, they can explain and describe in more detail what I am saying in their own language to their people. So it worked very well.
And talking to the woman, how did you find the translation work?
It was in the beginning, I was not so sure because you don't know what they say. But I trusted them so and believed that they would say the right thing. But it was fine with me if we gave him passage before the time to read through and get familiar with what we are going to share on. That helped very much, and so they could be familiar with what we will be speaking of. And they won't, if you didn't say the right words, that they would know, okay, this is the passage. Let's see if I can understand what she's saying. So that I didn't have to repeat everything because they didn't know what we are talking about. So if they knew what we were going to talk about, then that was much easier to also explain.
Sure, that's very interesting. So it sounds like you did a lot of leadership training and discipleship and that sort of thing. Did you guys focus much on preaching to non-believers and evangelism and that type of thing?
Well, now we get to the interesting part of the Gospel of John. I know a lot of people, you know, we often wonder, why is this book in the Bible? Now, some of you might ask, why on earth did John write this Gospel? Why did he spend this time? And I'd like to share with you a passage in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And it's saying, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but this are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. So that's clear. The message is clear. It's a message of hope. A hope in Jesus Christ. And we have had Catholic people joining our conferences and sitting and having these questions. You know, we must pray through Mary. And we dealt with John chapter 2. Where Jesus' mother Mary is in that picture, and she's saying to Jesus, well, the wine is finished. And Jesus say, what has that to do with me? And Jesus say, Mary is saying, do whatever he tells you. You see, Mary is saying, listen to Jesus Christ. He will tell you what to do. So even to understand, you know, we don't need a mediator. So preaching the gospel, maybe to a Catholic that will call themselves a Christian, but not believing in that Jesus' words and the work that Jesus Christ himself did is finished. So yes, we dealt with unbelievers. We have dealt with some Jehovah Witnesses and some of their teachings. So we're explaining. John is so clear that Jesus is God. I mean, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I mean, we need to understand as well, in the Bible, a sin that is very much condemnable is to worship another God that is known. And then Jesus saying to Nathanael in John chapter 1 verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, you'll see the angel of God or the angels worshipping Jesus, or the Son of God. I mean, if Jesus was not God, then that would have been forbidden to say by Jesus. And in fact, a person doing that would have been blasphemed and killed. So it's just showing us that Jesus must have been God. You know, such an amazing story of hope to the persons that's lost. And I think it's just people have a love for that. Many, many places we went, pastors said, well, this is our favorite book in the Bible, and we enjoy it so much. How did you experience it, Toby?
I also really enjoyed working through the book with the people. And even although it's a very good book for non-believers, even for believers, it's good in strengthening us. And also the testimony of John, where all he was doing was where he said in John chapter 1 verse 31, where he said, I myself did not know him, talking of Jesus, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. So the ministry of John was pointing the way to Christ, being a witness, and that is what our lives should be.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And how did the people in these different countries receive the message and the gospel? Were they open? Were they hostile? How did you find most of the people that you were witnessing to?
Okay, I would like maybe more to explain about Zimbabwe, and I will give Talita and Toby just time just now to reflect on how they did some of this with pensioners and old people, and maybe just with other people in Zimbabwe. But it, the village we have been, it is quite hot, I must say, and we are sitting all around the house. There was not a church building, they're busy building the church, but a lot of ladies and people gathering, and you know, the church have moved, like the position of the sun have moved, because we moving into the shade, so the whole time we must move in the shade. But it's encouragement. It have been well in the 30 degrees, the temperature, but people come, you know, coming from far. They not using cars, that people to walk there, you know. We want to know God's word, and God's word is important to us, and the necessary need to return to that and to know that, and then to want to learn that. And also the people teaching them to their children, it's encouragement. So many of the ladies, let me tell you that, she said, ah, you know, our first duty, we are mothers and we are working with our children. We can go and tell this to our children what we've learned. So it's encouragement. So yeah, that's how I've experienced it, especially in the country of Zimbabwe. Maybe Toby, you'd like to say how you experienced it with some of the people.
Yeah, the part that we were, there was not people coming to us, but we went to them, to the old people in the old age homes. They don't have many visitors, and most of them don't have any comfort, but it was a wonderful opportunity to have them gathered together, and we could spend much time with them, talking with them, listening, and also sharing the Gospel of John with them.
Yeah, I visited one of the nursing homes, and it's a place where a lot of the old people who cannot take care of themselves are. So this one lady, she's 97 years old, and I started speaking with her, and she was very happy to see me, because she doesn't, her children live far away and they don't come visit often. And she told me how her husband had died when their farm had been taken away from them, and she had like stood in front of him to protect him, and she had been shot in the arm, and but he had still died. And I was wondering, are you bitter about this or not? And she didn't seem bitter about it. She was very friendly and joyful about that. And so I asked, can I read something out of the Bible to you? Can I read a passage to you? She said, sure, she would love that. So I started reading from Matthew chapter 6 about our Father God in heaven, and how we don't have to be anxious, and that God takes care of us. And so she stopped me and she said, you know, should you forgive someone even if they don't ask for forgiveness? And I said, well, here in Matthew 6 it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So here it says that we should forgive them. She said, but I can't forgive this person. Everybody tells me I should forgive this person, but I can't. So I was wondering, is this the people who had taken the farm? But then she said, no, it's not them. It was her son. Someone she had taken in when he was very small. He was an orphan. And she had taken care of him, paid for his school and everything. And then when he was older, he had stolen a lot of money from her. And she was bitter because she had been like, he had turned on her. And she said she couldn't forgive him. She was very bitter about it. And so I said, okay, let's continue reading. And so we read further in Matthew. We finished chapter 6 and we started in chapter 7. And suddenly she stopped me and she said, you know, here it shows I should forgive him, because my treasures is not on earth. My treasures are in heaven. And if I forgive him, my treasures will be more in heaven than on earth. And that, I said, wow. Here, the Lord had just opened her heart so that she could understand that. And I was really amazed.
Sure, that's absolutely incredible. It just shows the power of the word. That really is so inspiring. And Talita, you were also involved with a lot of the women's ministry, I believe. What did this entail? Do you have any stories about the women's ministry?
Yeah, we some of the places we had a lot to do with the children and some of the women. In the one place, while Aubrey and Daniel were busy with the conferences, we and Ilesco were helping some of the women making food. And it was really, they taught us so much about the way they make food and how things work in their culture. And just the conversations we could have had with them, and it was really insightful, yeah.
That's beautiful. During these times, were you able to communicate? Was there a language barrier? How did it all pan out?
Well, most of the time there was a language barrier because they don't understand, but we had used a lot of sign languages, and sometimes there was someone nearby who could understand a little bit of English. So then that person would just call that one and say, what is that person saying? And then she would just say, but most of the time we could understand each other, yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful. Very inspiring. So being on the road for 2 months, traveling between different countries and whatnot, there must have been quite a few obstacles that you would have had to overcome. What were some of these obstacles, whether it be in ministry, in traveling, all that kind of thing?
The traveling, by God's grace and by His mercy, went smoothly. There wasn't much trouble with the people along the road. So I am very glad and thankful for that. So the traveling went smooth.
Yeah, it's just, you know, maybe missions people that's used to missions might know that you do not get a lot of sleep most of the time. And some of the practices in Africa, you know, whether it's starting to praying the top of your voice 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, they don't worry too much to wake the people up. That might get to you, maybe not the first night, maybe not the second night, but the third or fourth night it might, just after you do not have a lot of sleep. Mosquitoes, there's lots of them in Africa. If you don't have, you can be very glad for that. But so the mosquitoes is a problem. We did not experience any bad diseases this time, or no one of us got very sick. We had some minor sicknesses, but all of us seem to have recovered until now very well. I might just remind you, we went up to a rural area in Tanzania where malaria is especially bad. So God have even been so faithful to us. I just want to maybe notice, even in Zimbabwe, as we go out, some of our ministry got cancelled in the rural area where there was an outbreak of cholera and typhoid. Now, neither of the two sicknesses you'd like to have. So it has impacted Zimbabwe at that time very bad. A lot of people have died of that. So when you went to one rural village, it was quite a concern because you don't want to drink the local water, because you might just get sick, and also you don't really want to wash with it. So you can maybe go without bathing if you are a few people, 1 or 2 days, but you know, later you do need to wash. So that was some of the difficulties we faced. The vehicle, we did not face any problems with the vehicle. We did have some trailer issues, but I think that we'll continue to have until. And then border crossings, all the border crossings have been very smooth, I must say. We did not need to unpack by God's grace. But we know a lot of times God might use it to let us get in countries very easily. But sometimes He uses the border guards to grow our patience and our faith in Him. That sometimes, yes, we need to unpack. But God has been so gracious and good to us that at this time we did not need to do that. We had fuel, we had a place to sleep every night, we had food to eat, we had all these blessings that we really received out of the hand of God. So yeah.
Wow, that is really beautiful. So it sounds like the mission was an overall success, and we pray that the gospel, those that heard the gospel, that the Lord will continue to work in their hearts, and the fruits of your ministry will continue to grow. What are some ways that people can get involved with prayer, with funding, with anything like that? And what are some prayer points that people can pray about?
Well, I would especially want to point you that the day for the persecuted church is almost coming up. And I want you to pray for Zimbabwe, as what they are facing. You maybe know the history, but they have had the dictator Robert Mugabe there, and they've changed the face of the dictatorship from Robert Mugabe to Mnangagwa, or he's commonly known as the Crocodile. And I just remind you that he was the general, I believe, that executed or give the orders to execute all the Matabele people. So he's not very much liked by the Matabele people. He's actually not much liked by the Shona people even. So we can pray that God will revive his people's hearts, that they call the people back to repentance of Zimbabwe, but also for the government. Pray that God will somehow, where it doesn't seem a way at this moment, but that godly people will get into the government, and that they will stand on the authority of God's words and say, "Thus says the word of God." You know, we're going to stand with God's words. Doesn't matter if you will get persecuted. Doesn't matter if you die. God will not die, and his word will live forever. And we know that even we see this corrupted time, we see it in South Africa, we see it in Zimbabwe, we see it in Zambia, in all the African countries we've been, we see corruption. But we know God's kingdom is going to stretch this earth as the water is covering the sea. And there will not be no place for wickedness. And as well, to pray that the leaders, the godly leaders, will speak out against the sin that's going on, whether it's in parliament, whether it's sin against people that are so-called believers, but that they speak out against that, that they will not just turn a blind eye. So pray, especially pray for them. Do want to ask, support missionaries, support churches, support whoever is doing work in these areas, where Zimbabwe or a rural ministry, support them if they are spreading the good news and teaching other people to turn back to the word of God. Maybe you can just mention our website they can go and have a look on.
Yes, the website is www.frontlinemissionsa.org, frontlinemissionsa.org, and you can go on there and read about previous mission trips. You can read about the different team members in the mission trips, and in a few weeks when the rest of the team is back, they will also upload their report backs of this latest mission. So do go ahead and look at that. Do any of you have any final thoughts, comments, interesting stories or memories?
Well, I would like to inspire people, as we want them to know what the Bible say, to go and to read through the Gospel of John. And if you have maybe questions or something to write to us, or to phone in, or just as the Lord is leading. But also then, if you are familiar with the Discovery Bible Study, to go and do it with people, whether it's in rural Africa or on the university, but just to go out and spread the word of God. And yes, I want to encourage people to do that. You have used people right throughout the Bible that maybe we'll think, well, they are not equipped at all, but you've used them. And God will use people that's living a pure and a holy life, and people that believe his word and trust in him and trust in the work that Jesus Christ have done on the cross.
Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57-58 says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That is such an encouraging verse, and let's all apply that to our own lives. Let's use this Bible study method. Let's go out and share the gospel. And as Toby said earlier, about the story about the Samaritan woman, as soon as she knew the Lord and Savior, she couldn't help but to proclaim his name. And let's have that same zeal and that same passion of sharing the love and the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, guys. Good evening. Thank you.